I want to try to preach for a few minutes tonight on the ministry of thorns. The ministry of thorns. Now, usually when you're reading the Bible, thorns are associated with the curse that came upon this earth after the fall. Remember, the Lord put a curse upon man and upon woman and then upon the earth. And thorns and thistles were given to this earth as a curse from God. And then we read about the children of Israel going into the Canaan land, and God said, those that you don't run out of this land will become thorns in your side. Again, it seems to be that thorns are against us, that they oppose us, that they're not to our benefit, they're not to our aid. And I looked up that word bush. The Bible says in Exodus 2 that Moses turned and saw that the bush burned with fire. That word bush there is the thorn bush. Just a common bramblebriar bush. And God crowned, at that point, God crowned the thorn bush. In fact, the Bible says that God spoke to Moses out of the bush. His glory was draped around the thorn bush. And then later, when Jesus was crucified, you remember they took thorns and planted a crown and they pressed it down into his brow. God crowned the thorn bush in the Sinai Peninsula when Moses was there on the backside of the desert. And then on the cross, God so honored that thorn that it got to crown Jesus. God crowned the bush, now the bush crowns God on Calvary's brow. And so the curse is turned into a blessing. It's associated with Jesus. It's brought into focus with the crucified Christ. The curse becomes a blessing. And when we come to this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul tells us about how God has been ministering to him through a thorn. A thorn in the flesh. And I want us to look at some things that he says about this thorn. You understand, of course, that he's just explained his heavenly visit, how that he was caught up, whether in the body or out of the body, he said he couldn't tell. But he said he was caught up into paradise. That's where God is. That's where the tree of life is. And he said, while I was in paradise, I heard unspeakable words. And he said, they're not even lawful for a man to utter. And at that point, we feel like saying with Paul, you have been blessed mightily of God. But Paul did not look at this heavenly visit and his being caught up into heaven as the blessing. He looked upon what happened to him after that heavenly experience as the blessing. Look, if you will, in verse 7. He said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. He said, lest this heavenly experience would raise me up too high. God gave me a thorn in the flesh. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, I want us just to walk down through the three or four of these verses and learn some lessons that God has for us from thorns in our lives. Now, if we're not careful, we'll just want those heavenly visits and those heavenly experiences. But Paul came to the place where he realized there had to be thorns. There had to be those old prickling, sticking experiences where you felt all of the opposition of hell was against you. And I want us to begin by looking at the lesson about pride. Now, I'm not here tonight to decide what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Some say it was his eyesight. Some say that it was his physical appearance. He himself said that he was base among, he said, "I was base among you." Again, he talked about his speech being contemptible. Apparently, he had a difficult time saying at times what he wanted to say. And some take a few expressions in the New Testament to press that he may have had epilepsy, he may have had seizures of some kind. And this made him, in the public's eye, somewhat of a negative messenger. And so Paul said, "God has brought to me this thorn in the flesh." He never describes it. He never tells us exactly what it is. But he says, "It was given to me lest I should be exalted above measure." Notice he says that twice in verse 7. He starts out verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure." He concludes verse 7 by saying, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, that word, "lest," means "in order that." That is, the intent and the purpose of this thorn was to keep me from being exalted above measure. The intent of it. And the word "exalted" means to raise oneself over, to become haughty, to sort of become a self-made overseer. And Paul said, "Lest I became overly important in my own eyes, God had to give me this thorn in the flesh." And that word "measure" suggests to throw beyond the mark. Paul says, "Lest I should raise myself up exalt myself above the mark, the standard that God wants in my life." And of course, that mark that God has for us is the humility of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, "Lest I should get above that mark of humility that was given me, this thorn in the flesh." I'm saying, he gives us a lesson on pride. Now, notice two things about this thorn in the flesh that Paul gives us information about. Number one, he looks at it as though it is a gift from God. Now, difficulty, conflict, adversity, some kind of a physical struggle, some kind of emotional imbalance, perhaps some kind of battle on the job, whatever your thorn in the flesh might be. I was thinking out loud with a preacher friend of mine a few weeks ago, and he's very hard of hearing. I told him I'd been studying out this passage, and he said, "Well," he said, "Brother Tom, do you think my hearing problem might be my thorn in the flesh?" Well, I never had thought about it quite like that. It might well be. God gives us gifts that may not look like gifts. They may more resemble thorns than gifts. Now, I'll never forget one weekend when I came in from a meeting. I've always hampered my girls with little gifts or presents or something. Never has to be something majorly important, but I told them when I got in, I said, "Y'all are not going to believe what I brought you." Oh, Daddy, where is it? He said, it's out there in the trunk of the car. I got one for you and one for you. Oh, Daddy, what is it? Go open the trunk. I was kidding with him, but buddy, I really had them up in there. And so I told them before we got outside, I said, well, since the leaves have been falling down like they have, I decided y'all would love to have your own personal leaf rake. And you can imagine the response, oh, Daddy, no. What did you really get us? Well, I want to say they didn't look at a leaf rake as a very good gift. And sometimes the things that God brings into our lives, we may not consider them to be very good gifts. Paul said, this thorn, this conflict, this battle in my flesh is a gift from God. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Notice, he not only refers to it as a gift from God. And oh, I believe that's one of the first steps for us to have victory in the middle of our conflict. Is to receive our difficulties, our conflicts, our battles, our thorns as gifts from heaven. But notice secondly, Paul not only sees this thorn as a gift from God, he sees it as a dig from the devil. He said, God gave this thorn to me, but the devil has been using this thorn to buffet me. Look, if you will, in that middle phrase, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Now, that word given, as I used it, suggests to bestow, to commit, to grant, to deliver. He said, God has given this to me. He's bestowed it upon me. But he said, the devil is now using it to buffet me. Now, the Bible talks about Jesus being buffeted before he was crucified. It suggests to slap with the open fist. Or to rap with the hand. Could I just put it in simple terminology? Paul said the devil has been using this thorn to beat up on me. He's been using this to slap me around. Brother, I tell you, a lot of things God gives us to make us more like Jesus, if we're not careful, We'll find the devil using people, situations, hardships, difficulties, battles. We'll find the devil using that to slap us around and to knock us around and beat up on us. Oh, he said, I need to learn this lesson on pride. He said, this gift from God, which has become a gig for the devil. He said, it is all given in my life. It is all in my experience that I not be exalted above me. And I said, I don't know why all this has had to happen to me. I don't know why this had to happen. I don't know why this came about. Can you imagine something like that getting me down? I say to you, the primary, the beginning reason for a thorn is that you and I not be exalted above me. It keeps us down here with the rest of the people. Thorns always have sharp points. And sharp-pointed instruments are good to burst balloons with. And sometimes we get all blown out of proportion in our spiritual pride. My class is better than their class. My song is better than their song. My sermon is better than his sermon. And my knowledge of the Bible is further than theirs. And we get all blown out of proportion. And God has to send the thorn into our lives and let the devil swap us away a little bit so he'd let all of the air out of our balloon and we'd get down on the level with everybody else. A lesson of pride. Oh, brother. Notice secondly, from Paul's thorn in the flesh, we not only learn a lesson on pride, we learn a lesson on prayer. Look at verse number 8. For this thing, and that's the way you feel about it, isn't it? This thing. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now, that word for at this point suggests in behalf of this thorn, in behalf of this gouging, in behalf of this uncomfortable situation, because of what I was in, I besought. The word besought suggests I invited. I asked God to come and let it be removed from me. I wanted it to depart. I wanted it to be withdrawn. And notice the word he uses for Lord here. I besought the Lord. That word is the New Testament word for service. I besought the service. You heard brother, you just mentioned a while ago, his name evades me, from Ashby, Brother Wesley. You've heard him say, look into heaven and say, "Yes, sir!" Well, he's not off base. That word Lord is sometimes rendered sir in the New Testament. And we should have such an attitude to the authority of Jesus. Yes, sir! Paul said, after this thorn came into my life and God whittled me back down to where I need to be, he said, I began to recognize I wasn't the sir, that he was still the royal sir in my life. And so I directed my petition to him. I began to pray to him. And isn't that true? Isn't that often the case? God will bring a very uncomfortable experience into our lives. God will bring some prickly, something that digs away at us and causes us to get aggravated at people and aggravated in ourselves. And we sort of come far short of what we thought we really were. God allows that to happen. So we'll quit digging down and around and go to praying again. And I'm not just talking about praying over our food. I'm talking about talking to God. He gets down to business, doesn't he? This thorn provoked him to pray. Somebody said, I want y'all to pray for me. Why do you want somebody to pray for you? Oh, you got something sticking in your side. You got something that's digging into your life. You got something eating away. I say to you, that is one of the purposes of the thorn. That is one of the ministries of the thorn. Not only to get us down off our high horse and be what we ought to be in His presence, but to get us back on our knees. I besought the Lord that He might let it depart from me. Now notice that seems to be his primary interest. He's praying that this situation, this conflict, this burden might be removed. I don't think that's wrong. I don't think it's wrong to pray that God takes this away. God would get this out of your life. God would remove this. But it's not always God's will to move this. But it's not wrong to pray that way. For Paul prayed like this 3 times. Lord, take away this thorn. Get this out of my side. Get this out of my life. Somehow, Lord, get this pressure off of me. And the Lord didn't do it. I tell you, there's sometimes God doesn't do what we think He ought to do. And you know, I have failed. I'm just going to make a confession. I have got up from prayer on occasions, and I have failed that God had done what I'd asked Him to do. And it never did happen. It wasn't God's fault. It's just me operating on feelings instead of operating on God's timetable. It could be He did hear my prayer, but He wasn't ready to do what I wanted Him to do right then. And so Paul said, I prayed that God would remove it. And then he said, I prayed a prayer not only for removal, I prayed a prayer of repetition 3 times. He said, I bowed down 3 times with one purpose, with one petition, with one prayer, and that is, Lord, one more time I want to ask You, will You take away my thorn in the flesh? He wasn't talking about his husband or his wife either. No. Huh? Oh, he was desperate. I'm talking to you about prayer. But God did not answer his prayer. Rather, God said, I want to tell you something that's much better for you, Paul, than me removing that thorn in the flesh. Thirdly, the ministry of thorns not only teaches us about pride, teaches us about prayer, but in verse number 9, we learn something about God's provision. God said unto me, after I had said unto Him 3 times, He didn't say anything to me after I prayed the first time. He didn't say anything to me after I prayed the second time. But after I prayed the 3rd time, Paul said, God started talking to me. He didn't say to me what I expected Him to say to me, but He did do some wonderful talking. He said unto me, listen to this, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, I not only learned something about pride by my thorn, I not only learned something about prayer through my thorn, I learned something about God's provision. Now, that word grace, and I was so involved in our singing that, brother, before I came to preach, because I knew what territory I was moving in. And there we were singing, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. But grace is that divine influence on the heart. It involves His favor, His liberality. And Paul says that God told him, my grace, my favor, my influence on the human heart is sufficient. And that word sufficient has to do with being enough. My grace is enough for me. Now He, first of all, is pointed to the ability of God's provision. My grace, my strength. Then He is pointed to the abundance of God's provisions. Grace that is enough. Grace that is sufficient. Strength which is made perfect. Strength which matures in your experience. Now, can I try to illustrate this? God's grace is not just ample. It is enough. It is more than enough. In fact, to doubt God's sufficient grace and God's ample and more than ample strength and power, energy, would be like a woman saying to her husband at Niagara Falls, honey, you think there's enough water here to fill up my 5-gallon aquarium? My fish bowl. To doubt God's grace would be like a little old boy
saying to his daddy
down at the ocean front, "Daddy, do you think there's enough sand out here for me to fill up my sand bucket?" To doubt God's sufficiency, to doubt God being more than enough and more than adequate, would be like a field mouse coming out to the end of a large acreage of corn and saying to another field mouse, "Do you think there's enough corn in here for our dinner?" I'm trying to tell you, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is adequate. God's grace is able and abundant. Paul learned something about God's provision. Now, he would have not known the blessedness of this had it not been for that thorn. I said, "I want y'all to pray for me that I'll get better. I want y'all to pray for me that this won't be in my life. I want you to pray for me that this won't happen anymore." In other words, do you want us to pray that all you'll know about grace is where you are right now? And all you know about God's strength is where you are right now? Or do you want us to pray that God will continue to conform you to the image of His Son? And if need be, He'll stick you and prick you with the thorns of life so that you can find fresh grace and more grace and needed grace and sufficient grace and adequate grace day by day in the Christian journey. Amen. He said, "Paul, I'm not going to say to you what you thought I was going to say to you, but I'm going to say to you, my grace is sufficient for thee." And I had seen this for several years, but I hadn't seen it. And back last fall, when I got to choking in the pulpit and got to coughing at night, and the doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with me, and I began to look down the road and wonder if I'd be preaching in the future. You think of anything when you can't carry out your normal routine or ministry. And I had heard this before and thought about it before, but it was never real to me as much as it has been since then. He did not say, "My grace is sufficient for your trial." I've interpreted it like that on many occasions. "Lord, I need grace for this situation." No, grace is not for the situation. Grace is for you. Grace is for me. My grace is sufficient for thee. And like never before, I understand, I believe more about this experience Paul had with his thorn. God is saying, "Paul, you want me to remove the thorn. You want me to withdraw the thorn. You want it so the devil will quit swapping you around and beating up on you with the thorn. You want freedom from the thorn. Paul, my grace is not going to remove the thorn. My grace is not going to change your situation. But Paul, my grace is going to change you in the middle of the situation. My grace is sufficient for thee, for thee." God doesn't help to change the situation, but He brings the situation in our life and then pours grace in on the situation to change you and to change me and to make us more like Jesus Christ. I'm talking to you about His provision. Paul said he didn't answer my prayer and he didn't talk the way I wanted him to talk. But oh, he said, "I not only learned a lesson on pride and a lesson on prayer," but he said, "through the ministry of thorns, I learned a lesson on provision." I want you to see fourthly. Oh, here's where the rubber meets the road now. Paul said this ministry of thorns in my life not only taught me a lesson on pride and prayer, and provision. But he said, this ministry of thorns taught me a lesson on praise. Look, if you will, in the last of verse 9, after God said, my grace is sufficient, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather, and I can't help but believe when he said rather, that he was thinking about his whining, and his complaining, and his moaning, and his groaning, and his wanting things to be different. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather, instead of being like I've been, instead of talking the way I've been talking, rather, here's the way I'm going to act, I will glory in my infirmity. And look at verse number 10, that same word is used, therefore I take pleasure in, I delight in, I glory in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Yeah. I got to studying these words. There are five different areas that I think could be thorns. Look at verse 10. He mentions infirmities. That word means weaknesses. A want of strength. In reproaches, the word suggests injury, violence, maybe physical abuse. Paul said, I'm going to delight in my physical weakness, in my sickness, in my infirmities, my want of strength. I'm going to glory in it. In my reproaches, in my injuries, when folks have come at me in an outrage with violence, he said, I'm going to glory in it. In necessities, the word suggests distress, maybe external pain, but more significantly, internal pressure. Now that's a big word in our vocabulary today, isn't it? Pressure. You go to the doctor, what's the first thing he says to you? Before he ever tells you what medicine you need, before he ever really checks you out, he says you're under too much pressure. Huh? Isn't that right? You heard that? That's one of the big words of our society, pressure. Here's another one. Stress. Burnout. You're just doing too much. You need to slow down. You're under too much pressure. Paul said, I'm going to quit whining over my schedule. I'm going to quit moaning over all that's on my shoulder. He said, I'm going to quit acting like pressure's going to kill me. You heard that lately? Boy, if I don't do something, I'm going to blow up. This job's going to kill me. Amen. Or a young'un gets sideways with you. And the first thing you're saying is, boy, these young'uns are going to be the end of me. Pressure! It is not a reason for abandonment of life and joy. Pressure is a tool from heaven, a thorn from heaven. Yes, the devil may use it to slap you around every now and then, but Paul said, I'm learning what to do. When all this hits me, he said, I'm glorying in it. I'm praising God for it. He said, I'm delighting in it. Oh, yes. And then he says not only pleasure and infirmities and reproaches and necessities, but he said, I'm taking pleasure in persecution. I think they're really against me. Did you notice they didn't even speak to me? And if you're not careful, you build a case on what you thought happened. And you'll go home or wherever and feel abused. I think they're trying to shut me out. And all you're doing with that attitude is shutting yourself up. Oh, listen to me. Persecution suggests to be driven away. Paul said, when they don't want me in their group, he said, I am just going to praise God for it. He said, when I feel them driving me out and pushing me out, he said, I'm just going to kick up my heels and shout God about it. He said, I am going to take pleasure in it. I'm going to glory in it. And then he said, I'm also going to take pleasure in my distresses or my anguish. The word is the opposite of a large place. It means a narrow place, a straight. Paul says, instead of me wishing I was in a wide place where there was plenty of room for me to maneuver, he said, when I find God has given me a thorn and the devil is using it to slap me around and I feel like I'm pushed up in a corner, he said, instead of me wishing I was in a large place, he said, I am going to take pleasure, I'm going to delight in, I am going to think well of my narrow places. I'm going to praise God for my narrow places. I'm talking to you about a proper attitude of heart in relationship to our thorns in life. Attitude. Oh, brother. We talk about the Beatitudes. Warren Wiersbe in his book on Matthew says, they are attitudes that ought to be. Beatitudes. Attitudes that ought to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted falsely for my name's sake. Oh, that God would grant us those attitudes of heart. And instead of trying to fight our way out of dilemmas, we could praise God out of our situation. Paul says, I'm just going to glory in it. I'm going to take pleasure in it. I'm going to quit calling it the Monday morning blues. I'm going to quit calling it boredom. I'm going to quit calling it hard times. I'm going to quit calling it things that are against me and people that are against me. He said, I'm going to start calling it gifts from God, which make me more like Jesus Christ. Amen. The ministry of thorns ministers to us a lesson on pride, a lesson on prayer, a lesson on provision, a lesson on praise. I say this to the glory of God. You know, when I started seeing a turnaround in my physical battle back last year was when I quit whining about it and went to thanking God for it. That's right. And they think they've hit the nail on the head. I don't know whether they have or not, but I haven't had any problems since December 31st. But I'm talking to you about praising God and thanking God for whatever happens. I started my upward climb, and I really feel like God gave me a new start and gave me a new release in the ministry. I looked down the road and thought it was over, and now here I am, wilder than I've ever been before, and enjoying God more than I ever have before. I'm here to say to you that God wants to change our attitude, and come what may, hell or high water, thank Him for it and appreciate it and let Him make you more like His darling Son. Amen. Oh. You see, if you're going to be like Jesus, I'm going to be like Jesus. Somewhere along the line, we're going to have a crown of thorns on our head. That's part of the journey to the throne. Look at this. I close with this. Paul, why are you going to shout about these adversities? Why are you going to thank God for all these difficulties? Verse 9, the last phrase. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What he says in verse 10. Oh, I got to thinking about this, and I've looked. Y'all going to have to forgive me now for my closing illustration. I've looked for a better one. I went down to the library to see if I could find some good usages for thorns. Maybe some kind of medicine that they got out of some thorn or thistle. I never did find it. So I had to come back to my old briar preaching sermon, the illustrations. You'll recognize this. Brer Fox came upon Brer Rabbit mixed up with Tar Baby. You remember? Brer Rabbit began to plead for mercy. He said, "Oh, please, sir." He said, "If you want to get a breast pile and get the fire going real hot, barbecue me for supper, Mr. Brer Fox." He said, "That'll be fine." He said, "Get it real hot." But he said, "Whatever you do, please, please, don't throw me in that brass hatch." So Brer Fox said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do since I can't find a breast pile. I'm going to hang you." And Brer Rabbit said, "Oh, sir, raise me high. Get me to the highest limb." He said, "Really, hang me high. But whatever you do, please don't throw me in that breast pile, in that thorn briar patch." He said, "Well, I don't have a rope to hang you with. What I think I'm going to do is drown you." "Oh," he said, "please, sir." He said, "Drown me deep." He said, "Make me go right down to the bottom." But he said, "Please don't throw me in that briar patch. Whatever you do, don't throw me in the briar patch." He said, "In fact, skin me and snuff out my eyeballs. Pull out my ears by the roots and cut off my legs. But sir, please don't, please, please, please don't throw me in that briar patch." You remember what Brer Fox did? That reverse psychology was too big for him. And he took Brer Rabbit and threw him in that briar patch. But you see, what he had forgotten is what Brer Rabbit confessed as he wiggled out of the briar patch. Laughing, he said, "Oh, Mr. Brer Fox," he said, "I was bread and bone in a briar patch." Sometimes we think that those briar patches that God puts us in are against us. But hey, just like that Brer Rabbit was bred and born for the briar patch, God has fixed you and me up so we thrive in the briar patch. You can't handle the difficulties of life, but you've held the briar patch. God's got grace for you in the briar patch. God's got strength for you in the briar patch. God's got power for you in the briar patch. I say, God has a ministry in the thorn.